You're listening to SBS News.
Capping off a whirlwind year of COVID-19 with a bang. More than 32,000 new cases in a single day. The last day of the year across Australia. Cases in New South Wales increased by 73% to 21,151, while another six deaths were recorded. The state's chief health officer, Dr. Kerry Chant, suspects undetected transmission in the community.
Whilst we're reporting 21,151 cases in the community, it's likely that the case numbers are higher than that. And there is a lot of transmission of COVID occurring in our community. And so the risk of transmission and acquiring COVID is high.
More than 40,000 cases have been confirmed in New South Wales this week alone. Premier Dominic Perrottet maintains the state remains in a strong position.
I know and understand that many people across our state today are anxious. But just like the challenges of the last 2 years, we will get through this challenge as well and come out stronger the other side. But we stand here today in an incredibly strong position as we head into 2022.
National Cabinet has agreed to remove the requirement for a day six rapid test for confirmed cases in isolation. The Australian Medical Association says it fears the relaxed rules on close contacts and isolation means coronavirus cases will be missed. Dr. Roderick McRae, President of the Australian Medical Association of Victoria, says the four-hour threshold within a household setting is too high.
There's evidence, admittedly with the Delta variant, that it transmitted in 30 seconds. So 4 hours is way too long. And the real difficulty with the COVID-19 virus is when you present with symptoms, so we've kicked the can 2 days down the road, during that 2 days, you are transmitting the virus to the other person.
Federal Labor's health spokesman Mark Butler says decisions from National Cabinet are falling apart.
Scott Morrison has decided to let it rip while more than 9 in 10 Australians still haven't received a crucial booster shot and rapid tests are about as hard to find as an AFL grand final ticket. Scott Morrison has decided to let it rip without giving Australians the tools that they need to keep themselves safe and healthy, particularly booster shots and rapid tests. The message to the Australian people yesterday from Scott Morrison essentially was, you're on your own.
Speaking to Channel 9's The Today Show, Brisbane-based infectious disease expert Professor Paul Griffin says Australia has not let it rip.
Look, I'm not concerned really. What's clear is we're at a stage of this pandemic where we are going to continue to see widespread community transmission, but that doesn't mean we're giving up or letting it rip. We're still going to focus on fundamental mitigation strategies, high rates of vaccination with boosting, social distancing and masks, and of course use testing to our advantage, PCR in a more prioritised way now, rapid antigen testing when we can get it.
Victoria recorded 5,919 new infections and another seven deaths. The state's COVID-19 response commander, Jerome Wymer, warned the severe heat in Melbourne means some testing sites will close.
We're expecting peak temperatures of 38 degrees in Melbourne and in other parts of the state. As a result, of course, we are doing a site-by-site assessment of our testing system, where we particularly have outdoor testing facilities. We are closing some of those sites as the temperature in those tents starts to rise.
Tasmania recorded 137 new COVID-19 cases. South Australia recorded 2,093 cases and two deaths, while Queensland recorded 3,118 new infections. The Australian Council of Social Service calls on the federal government to ensure free rapid antigen tests are provided to Australians on low incomes, particularly those who rely on welfare payments. Speaking to SBS, ACOS President Peter McNamara calls for free tests for Australia's poorest cohorts, including First Nations people, people with disabilities and the unemployed.
Almost four times as many people on low incomes have died from COVID as opposed to the rich. So what we're saying is use the evidence that's already there, get access to the rapid antigen COVID testing into the hands of the most vulnerable, into the hands of the community services front-end workers who throughout the pandemic have turned up and have really many ways saved thousands of lives.
Victoria's Health Minister Martin Foley says rapid tests should be widely available and free. He also says there is a national shortage of tests and seemingly taking a swipe at the federal government for refusing to do anything about that shortage.
Those families and support who need it most, who, you know, $10, $15, $20, sometimes $25 a pop is prohibitive. For many, many families. And we think there's a really important role for government to lead and to partner with the wider community in the provision of those tests, and that's what our aim is. We think they should be free, that we think they should be widely available. There's a real role in all levels of government to play a positive leadership role there.
Looking back on the year that was, dominated by lockdown, roadmaps and rollouts, and the year ahead, health experts joined forces to reflect, predict, advise and share their ideas about how to make sure 2022 isn't another write-off. Speaking to the ABC, epidemiologist Professor Mary Louise McClaws says authorities in 2021 lacked an overly cautious approach in the country's overall COVID-19 response.
And it was very disappointing to hear the authorities, through Brendan Murphy, tell the community not to wear masks back in February and March, which was surprising to me. So I think what I've learned is that the authorities are less likely to be highly precautious and I think potentially through their advisory panels are, groupthink rather than seeing outside the box and thinking it's cheaper and faster and better to look after the population from a highly precautious perspective so that it doesn't cost a lot of lives initially.
The University of Melbourne's Professor Tony Blakely says Australia is better placed to tackle new variants in 2022.
More technology, more understanding, all the rest of it. What I think 2022 holds for us is one of two options. The first option is that we try to keep the virus level low and we take a bet, if you like, on that we'll get better vaccines. The other option that we face is that we see that the vaccines are never going to be that great at stopping transmission, and we need to live with the virus. Now, living with the virus has many different colours, but living with the virus might be accepting that some percentage, 5, 10, whatever percentage of your population is going to be infected, and that will augment or top up the vaccine immunity, and we'll take a messy path out of this pandemic.
And head of Melbourne School of Population and Global Health, Professor Nancy Baxter, says new COVID-19 challenges await.
I don't have a crystal ball for 2022, but one thing I can guarantee is that COVID will send us a few more curveballs. One of the challenges I think that we have is we set a roadmap that means that we know where our destination is, we know what the conditions of the road are going to be, and we seem to really rigidly focus on following a roadmap, when actually what we need to be able to do is to react to what happens and to be a bit more nimble in our thinking and nimble in our actions to react to that. One of the very important things we need to be focusing on over the next year is how to counter, you know, the fake news, the anti-vax sentiment.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.